Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna, Krishna, Premayatamam, Yogesha, Jagat, Ishvara, Vasudeva, Kilavasha, Satvatam, Parvara, I'm sorry, Pravara, Prabho, Tvam, Atma, Sarva, Bhutanam, Eko, Jyotir, Ivadasam, Kuto, Guha, Saya, Shakshi, Maha, Purusha, Ishvaraha, Krishna Krishna Prameyat Yogesha Jagat Ishvara Vasudeva Kila Vasha Satvatam Pravara Prabho Tam Atma Sarva Bhutanam Tam ad eko jyotir ivashasam kudo guya saya sakshi mahapurusha ishvaraha krishna krishna prameyatmam Yogesha Jagat Ishvara Vasudeva Kilavasha Satvatam Pravara Prabho Tam Atma Sarva Bhutanam Eko Jyotir Ivadasham Kudo Guya Saya Sakshi Mahapurusha Ishvaraha Krishna Krishna Prameyatmam Yogeshva Jagat Ishvara Vasudeva Kilavasha Satvatam Pravara Prabho Tam Atma Sarva Bhutanam Eko Jyotir Ivadasham Kuto Guha Saya Sakshi Mahapurusha Ishvaraha Krishna Prameyatma
Thank you.
Krishna. O Krishna Krishna. Aprameya Atman. O immeasurable one. Yoga Isha. O source of all mystic power. Jagat Ishvara. O Lord of the universe. Vasudeva. O son of Vasudev. Akilo Avasha. O shelter of all beings. Satvatam of the Yadu dynasty. Pravara. O you who are the best. Prabho. O master. Tvam. You. Atma. The supreme soul. Sarva. Of all. Bhutanam. Created beings. Eka. Alone. Jyoti. Fire. Eva. Like. Edasham. In kindling wood. Kuda. Hidden. Guha. Within the cave of the heart. Saya. Sitting. Shakshi. The witness. Mahapurusha. The supreme personality of Godhead. Ishvara. The supreme controller. Translation. Narada Muni said, O Krishna Krishna, unlimited Lord, source of all mystic power, Lord of the universe, O Vasudev, shelter of all beings, and best of the Yadus, O Master, you are the supersoul of all created beings. Sitting unseen within the cave of the heart. Like the fire dormant within kindling wood. You are the witness within everyone. The supreme personality and the ultimate controlling deity. So this verse is spoken by residents of Vrindavan. Yes or no? Yes? No, it's spoken by Narada Muni. Because we see here, Narada Muni's mood is different. This is what's interesting we see in the different relationships with Krishna. The 10th canto is so intense because it is different. Here he is addressing him. He starts by calling him Krishna Krishna. But later on he calls him Vasudev, the shelter of all beings and best of the Yadus. And then he addresses him as the supreme soul. So in one sense, Krishna is a Dvaita. He is non-dual. But his relationships are different. The relationship of Krishna as Vasudev is different than the relationship of Krishna in Vrindavan. So Narada Muni is seeing the whole picture here. We see that when the Kunti Devi speaks, or Arjuna speaks, or Yudhisthira speaks, or Narada Muni speaks, they speak about Krishna differently than the residents of Vrindavan speak. This is kind of interesting here in this part of the 10th canto, because in this part here, talking about the different pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, they are very different. Because we see when Kunti Devi talks about Krishna, Kunti Devi realizes that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. When Krishna appears in Dwarka, he appears differently. So we understand that Krishna is the Chintya Veda Veda Tattva. He is simultaneously one and yet different. But the way Narada Muni is talking about Krishna, most of them here, he's talking about the unlimited Lord, the source of all mystic power, the Lord of the universe, shelter of all beings, supreme soul, sitting within the heart of everyone, the supreme personality, and the ultimate controlling deity. Is this the way the residents of Vrindavan see Krishna? They don't. They see Krishna differently. Knows Krishna differently when he goes to Mathura? There's a special relationship that's in Vrindavan that's different. When Krishna goes to Mathura, how do we know where the relationship changes? Does someone know where it changes? Where he changes from being the Krishna in Vrindavan? Yes. At Akura takes, if we read this story, one of my son's friends had that his name in Vrindavan and nobody liked him because his name was Akura. Because of course Akura comes from Mathura, which the relationship of Krishna and Mathura is similar to in Dwarka, that they love Krishna, but they still know Krishna is the personality of Godhead. And Akura comes to take Krishna to Vrindavan. And then Krishna stops at the Akura Ghat, and the chariot stops. And Akura gets down and he leaves Krishna and Balaram on the chariot. And then he goes into the water. And in the water, he takes a bath and then he starts to chant his Gayatri, half submerged in the water. And then all of a sudden, he sees that Krishna and Balaram appear in the water. And then they appear as Seshanaga and Mahavishnu. And all the demigods are there worshiping him and offering prayers and homage. And he's so shocked, he goes out of the water and then he sees that Krishna and Balaram are still there on the chariot. And Krishna says to Akura, "Did you see something wonderful within water or in space?" So at this point, Krishna in his Krishna form is staying in Vrindavan and Vasudev Krishna goes to Mathura and to Dwarka. So we see this is kind of interesting here in how Narada Muni is explaining that Krishna is this way. And in Dwarka and Mathura, they love Krishna. They have more of a personal relationship with Krishna than the persons who are devoted to Lakshmi and Narayan have with Lakshmi and Narayan, because they still have some awe and reverence, but there's still a little more personal relationship. But when we're dealing in Vrindavan, it is kind of an interesting mix, because do the devotees realize that Krishna is God? Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. It's almost like the idea you can have the president of a country and they may have children. It's like President Obama in America has daughters. They know their daddy is the President of the United States, but to them their relationship is more important. So this is what's interesting in Vrindavan, is that sometimes they think of Krishna as God, and usually they just think of loving him. We see that when Mother Yasoda was told that Krishna ate dirt, that she went to say, "Krishna, you open your mouth so I can see." And inside, Krishna showed all of the universes. He showed everything inside, including Mother Yasoda there. So she's thinking, "Oh, my son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." But she's still thinking of him as her son first. And then she stops and says, no, but you must come home and eat or you will die." So they know that Krishna is God when they need to, but when they need to love, they just need to love. And quite often they offer the artik to Narayan. That's why when Krishna and Balaram are watching the residents offer the artik to Narayan, they smile at each other and laugh because they know that they're Narayan. But the residents of Vrindavan sometimes realize it and sometimes they don't. So it's interesting. We see, like before some of these pastimes here, that Nanda Maharaj is just thinking of Krishna as his beloved son. But when the snake comes to get him, he calls out for his son to help him. "Help, help." So it seems that when they need to know Krishna is God, Krishna is appearing as a small child. So if they didn't have down deep the knowledge that Krishna was God, why would they call to him for protection? Wouldn't they call to someone else? So when they really need to, they call to Krishna for protection. But when they don't need to, they just really want to love him. And this shows us how we can be. We see that when, I don't know if they do Christmas as big here as they do in America. Probably not, right? Do they have Santa Claus here? Now, what is the way difference between the way most people worship God and Santa Claus? Is there much difference? The person sits on Santa's lap and says, Santa, the girl says, I want a new pony, and the boy says, I want a toy car, and the girl says, I want a new dress, and the wife says, I want a diamond ring, and they go to worship God. They say, I want some of this, and I want some of that, and the way they're worshiping God, it's not amazing that Santa Claus is the main figure on Christmas Day, isn't it? I remember that we used to put out the cookies and milk, and Santa would come down the chimney and would leave presents, and he'd eat some of the cookies. I was so amazed. But this is the big thing. They have the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And it goes through the songs about how everyone's dreaming of what presents they'll get. And then St. Nicholas comes. And the whole thing is about St. Nicholas, of course, is not Jesus Christ. He is Santa Claus. So the whole idea is about Santa Claus coming. The first thing they do is not to worship Jesus. Because actually Jesus' birthday is in April. The Christians just stole that day because in Persia and those areas they were worshiping Mithra on that day, because the day was the, in the northern hemisphere, that's the summer solstice here. No, the winter solstice. Here it's the summer solstice, right? And now it's changed to the 21st, but during that time it was the 25th. So the Christians moved Jesus' birthday to then so that they could get the people who are already celebrating that day. It'd be just like today is the abolition of slavery, so it's a holiday. So if we move John Mastami to that day, because people are always celebrating it, and then wondered why people were celebrating the abolition of slavery, we wouldn't wonder, because we took the day. So when the residents of Vrindavan see Krishna, they're not seeing him as a Santa Claus. Only when they're really in need do they call out to Krishna. But normally they just want to have a special relationship with him. The cowherd boys go off to play with Krishna, and at one point you see that they're just sitting with Krishna eating lunch, and they're looking at him as they put Krishna in the center. You've seen the pictures where Krishna is in the center, and they're all eating their lunch together, and they start the day by herding the cows together, and they bring the cows home in the evening. And in the morning, the cowherd boys come to see what Krishna is doing, and they go to milk the cows together. But of course, you can see that they do have this faith inside that Krishna is God, because when the big snake called Agasura comes and he opens his mouth, the cowherd boys look at this snake and they think, boy, this snake is a big, terrible snake, and his breath smells awful. So they stay away from him, right? Do they? Or did they just walk inside? Why'd they walk inside? Were they going to be in danger? But did they know that Krishna would protect them? So this is the interesting part. They sort of go back and forth. Do they think of Krishna as God? Yes and no. Sometimes they think of him as God. Sometimes he's just their lovable Krishna. And it's because the love is so strong that when you love someone, you're not thinking of their position as much. Because we know that God has all fame and all riches and all intelligence. So they know that Krishna is God, and they know these things, that he has all strength. So they go inside the Agasura demon, not being afraid of it. So even though they know that Krishna has all strength, why is it they don't always think of him in this way? Because Krishna has all strength and all intelligence, and he has all fame, and he has all the riches. But the fact that he has all beauty and all love overpowers that. It's just like if you saw a person who was Miss America or Miss Universe or the most beautiful woman. You would think of this person, it is more, you are more enamored by their beauty than the fact that they've become famous for this. It's just like if someone is a famous musician and they're playing music, you're so enamored by how good the music is that you're not thinking of, oh, but this person is famous, right? You're just thinking how good this actually is. So what happens is that it is so overwhelming, the beauty of Krishna and the love of Krishna, that it causes them to not think about the fact that he's God. And the Yogamaya helps them. Yogamaya brings her potency and takes it away just to increase the pastimes of Vrindavan. But we see that we have 78% of the qualities of God in a minute portion, and Shiva has something like 84, 88, and Narayan has 94. How can Narayan be God and only have 94% of the qualities? He's God, and he creates all of the universes. There was one Christian preacher would say, the only reason you can't see God is he's so big you can't get far enough away from him to see him. That sounds like Mahavishnu, doesn't it? He's so big you can't get far enough away to see him. So if he's so big and Krishna appears as a baby or even in his youthful pastimes, he appears the same size as most of us or a little bigger. So how is it that Narayan only has 94%? Doesn't Narayan have all power? Doesn't Narayan have all the wealth? Doesn't he create universes just coming out of his pores? The way he creates the universes, that they come out in first the form and then it's created, it corresponds more to what the scientists say than what the Christians say, that's for sure. They just don't know what the source of that creation is. They think the source is gravity or atomic theory. Everybody has to have a beginning principle. Why can't Krishna or Vishnu be the beginning principle? Is equally as valid. Plus the idea that everything has to, you can't give something you don't have, right? So if you take apart water, you get hydrogen and oxygen, but you can't get nitrogen because it isn't part of it. So how can things that have consciousness come from something that doesn't have consciousness? It defies logic. Everything the qualities have to come from something that it already has. You can't give something that isn't there. So the fact that we have consciousness means that the beginning source must have consciousness also. So what is it that Krishna has in the form of Krishna that makes the pastimes super excellent? This is explained by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the four extra qualities of Krishna, such as Rupa Madhuri. He has the most beautiful form. So when they see this form, they can't think of anything else. Just like if you see someone that appears to be beautiful, you may forget what their position is. And Krishna is so beautiful that they're enamored by the beauty, that the fact that he created the universe doesn't come as being important. So the only reason we don't think of this kind of beauty as being that important is because we haven't seen it before. This beauty is such an opulence that it defies any of the other opulences like strength and fame and wealth. And the form of Krishna is even more beautiful than the form of Narayan. Krishna is walking by the lake and he sees his form and he stops to see how beautiful that form is. The form of Krishna is so beautiful that even Krishna notices that it's beautiful. And why is it if they've seen Krishna that they don't forget this? Because Krishna is so beautiful that every moment they're seeing him is as if they've seen Krishna for the first time. So every moment is something new. Everything else in this world is, yeah, I know that person. Yeah, I've seen that place before. Everything becomes dry and old here. But Krishna is so ever fresh with beauty that every time you see him. So if that beauty is so much, it is difficult to think about, yes, but he created some universes too, isn't it? It is difficult to think about that because that form is so beautiful. And then he has Leela Madhuri, that he has the most wonderful pastimes, where he engages in these pastimes, where it isn't like in the Vaikuntha planets, where there he is as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's accepting worship. We see that he is acting like a child for Mother Yasoda, and he is stealing the yogurt and the butter, and Mother Yasoda is chasing him with a stick as if he's a bad child. And the elderly gopis are telling that Krishna has come to steal our butter and yogurt. They're not thinking the Supreme Personality of Godhead came to my house. His pastimes are so beautiful that they overshadow the fact of his other opulences. Yeah. So this Leela Madhuri is the most beautiful pastimes that can be had when Krishna goes with the cowherd boys. And this kind of rolls into the Prema Madhuri, that the special kind of love that's exhibited in the form of Krishna goes beyond the kind of love in any other form. Because we see that this love is exhibited through the Leela. When Krishna is there with Mother Yasoda, that he is treating her just like a mother, and she is thinking of his childhood pastimes, and Krishna comes to put the shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head and brings them to Nanda Maharaj, and they have this beautiful intimate pastimes that go along with the intimate love that is there. Because without this intimate love, you cannot have those same kind of intimate pastimes. We see that when Krishna is in Dwarka, he's still in the Krishna form, but is in the Vasudeva Krishna form. And there they still know that Krishna is God. We see that the relationship isn't quite as strong. That is why when the residents of Vrindavan went to Kurukshetra to see the solar eclipse, Krishna had been gone for a long time, maybe 100 years. And the residents of Vrindavan met the residents of Dwarka at Kurukshetra. And Rupa Goswami writes the one verse that Radharani says, that Radharani is talking to her friend. She says, my old and dear friend, she says, I met my old friend Krishna in the field of Kurukshetra. And she says, it is very wonderful. She says, I am the same Krishna. I'm the same Radharani, and he is the same Krishna, and it is very wonderful. She says, but I still wish to be by the bank of the Jamuna River, underneath the trees, hearing Krishna play this fifth note, the transcendental sound of the fifth note on his flute within that forest of Vrindavan. So even though they are seeing Krishna there in Kurukshetra, she still wants to have Krishna back in that intimate mood where they can have the Leela Madhuri and the Prema Madhuri, the very special intimate pastimes of love, where Krishna goes with the cowherd boys and acts just like another boy who is there to herd the cows, and they sit and eat lunch together. And then Krishna has his Priyanama Shakas, the intimate friends of Krishna. They go off to meet Radharani's associates, and they arrange for meetings with Krishna in certain places. And they have to be careful because Chandravali also has her assistants who go out to try to arrange meetings where Krishna will meet with Chandravali and her associates instead of Radharani and her associates. And we read about the Rasa dance where they dance the intimate Rasa dance together. And they have an intimate feeling of love where everything disappears except this feeling of great love for Krishna. So we see at the times where they, so many times where they could see Krishna was God. When the forest fire came, they asked Krishna to swallow the forest fire. They know that Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, and sometimes they're seeing how powerful he is. Other times they're thinking, well, maybe we should help with our sticks. So they go back and forth. But it's because the love is so strong. And there is a fourth quality that helps in this that we don't see that we don't see in the other forms of Krishna. When Krishna was hiding from the gopis, he assumed the form of Narayan. And the gopis came and they said, so the Narayan looks almost like Krishna, but there's no flute. Can't be Krishna without the flute. And so Krishna is holding the forearms, and they said to Narayan, well, which way is Krishna gone? And he says, that way. And then when Radharani comes, this feeling of love is so strong that the two arms disappear, and then he makes them come back again. Then they disappear, and then they come back again. And he keeps trying to maintain the two extra arms, but he can't maintain the two extra arms, and he appears as Krishna because the prema is so strong in Krishna himself that he lets himself go more than anything else. In the other relationships, there is still some degree of formality, but in this degree, he lets himself go to the devotees. And as we were saying, in the form of Narayan, he doesn't have this flute. This is the fourth quality that Rupa Goswami talks about, the Venu Madhuri, that when Krishna plays this flute, Krishna says he's the sound in ether and the ability in man. So when people play an instrument, and they can play this instrument very well, we can see that this is a quality that comes from Krishna. Krishna explains all of these things in Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter. He says that I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. So we see that if people play music, that ability comes from Krishna. But if he says all these glorious and mighty manifestations spring from but a spark of my splendor, this means that if from a spark of Krishna's splendor come all these people's ability to play music, and some of them we think are fantastic. Some people do a concert and everybody comes in awe of how they can play music. If this is true, then how well is it when Krishna plays on the flute, when Krishna plays that sound by the bank of the Jamuna River on his flute? And this makes the lila and the prema even more deep. So that is why she wants to be, Radharani wants to be with Krishna by the bank of the Yamuna, hearing the sound of that flute. Krishna plays the sound of the flute and all the cows want to come home. He plays the sound of the flute and the cowherd boys want to come with him to go herd the cows. He plays the sound of the flute and the gopis want to come to dance the rasa dance. Because can we have any imagination? It is kind of like the frog in the Indian Ocean here. The one frog went to see the ocean. He came back to tell the other frog, I have seen the ocean and it is so big. And the Mr. Frog is sitting in his well and he says, how big is it? Is it half as big as my well? And the other frog says, no, it's much bigger. He says, is it twice as big? And he says, no. He says, well, is it 10 times as big? He has no idea how much it is. So we're thinking, is Krishna's ability twice as good as the other musicians to play the flute? Is it 10 times, 100 times? Is it so much more than this? So we see that these pastimes are so hard to understand. But Krishna comes to this world and shows us what it is like to be in the spiritual world with Krishna. Nowhere else do they have this kind of concept. You know, in fact, they don't. You see pictures that Christians put out about God. He may appear as an old man with a beard, and he's sitting on a throne saying, you go to heaven, you go to hell. But they don't have this idea of an intimate relationship where God appears just like a family member. This idea is not even understood with Narayan in Vaikuntha. Even with Ram in Ayodhya, they have special loving relationship with Ram, but he's still the king, and they still have this great respect for him. It is a wonderful, sweet relationship, and it goes beyond the intimacy of Narayan, because he does have friends, but he doesn't have the relationship where he can have different lovers like Krishna does. In the relationship with Rama, only Sita is in conjugal relationship with him. In the form of Krishna, he let so many devotees have this intimate, loving relationship with him. And so that's why we're reading here with the Casey demon comes along, and Krishna first plays with the demons. These demons are like a shape-shifting demons. They can come in one shape, and they can shift to something else. They can be one form, and they can shift into Casey. Or it can be like Putana, who is a big, nasty witch, but she makes herself appear like a very beautiful woman. I think there's other men and women who do this also. They don't actually change their shape, but they change their personality, don't they? Just like, what does the man say to a woman? He asks her what her favorite color is. No matter what she says, what does he say? Mine is too. Really? Mine is too. So in a sense, are they not being like their shape-shifting personality? Oh, I can appear so nice until I get something, right? They even say in India that too much devotion is a sign of a thief. The person will have devotion and have wonderful things. So in a sense, if we are duplicitous, are we not acting like shape-shifting demons? That we are acting as if we are nice people, but inside we have some desires that we want to fulfill at any cost. So these shape-shifting demons come along, and do they worry Krishna? No. He stuck his hand inside Casey's mouth, and it got so hot that Casey could not stand it anymore, and he fell down and shook and passed urine and stool and died. So Krishna kills these demons easily. And that is why Narada Muni is coming in to show that Krishna appears just as the beautiful, loving person. But this is what is amazing, because it's one thing if you're just loving, because if you're just an ordinary person, well, yeah, they love, but... Or if you're somebody famous. But if you're somebody famous and powerful, and yet you can just be an ordinary, loving person also, it makes each quality seem stronger. That same ordinary loving boy is actually the personality of Godhead. And it's even more special that the personality of Godhead appears as somebody who can give us intimate relationship with Krishna. That in the form of Krishna, he gives us this intimate relationship that can't be experienced in any other form. And that's why it's a little harder to attain Krishna, because we have to get some kind of Raganuga Bhakti. And of course, we can get this through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by entering into the Lord's pastimes. We enter into that by performing the Harinama, the Sankirtan, which means the chanting of the holy names and the distribution of books. Of course, we haven't done the Harinama since last night, but we do it, right? We did have it last night. Who went on the Harinama last night? Yes? No one else? I was there. No one else was there? Yes? Big crowd was there. Weren't you there also? A brahmachari? No? Big crowd was there. You missed it. It was a good crowd of people. And all the people came out to offer incense and fruits. How do they all know about this? What's that? See, that's a good way. They let everybody know what's going on, right? That's good. They tell people in sales. First you tell them what you're going to do, and then you tell them what you're doing, and then you tell them what you did, right? And that's what we do. We go out, tell them we're going to have the Harinama, and then we do the Harinama. And then does that make some more people come here after that? How does that affect the people long term? They come to the temple more because of that? They're just more aware of us, or... It just breathes. So that's part of Krishna's intimate pastimes. The Lord Chaitanya comes and does the Sankirtan. So because the Lord is doing it, it is part of his Leela. So when we are doing that, we are entering into the Lord's Leela. And when we want to take Krishna back to Vrindavan, like Radharani wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan, we should hold like a festival where we try to do this, shouldn't we? Do we do that? Rath Yatra, that's what Rath Yatra is. So when we're in Rath Yatra, aren't we helping the residents of Vrindavan take Krishna from Kurukshetra back to Vrindavan? You know what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said? He said that Vrindavan is for shallow people. He said that if you really want to serve Radharani, you will serve in Kurukshetra, because that's where she needs you the most. So when we are going on the Ratha Yatra, are we going to Kurukshetra? We are, aren't we? We're going to Kurukshetra to try to help take Krishna back from that opulent position, back to the beautiful, loving pastimes of Vrindavan. So we have to do like Narada Muni is here. We can't just automatically try to enter into the pastimes of Krishna. We can understand the pastimes of Krishna and read about them, but if we imagine that we are there, it is like if you decide that you want to serve this country of Mauritius, so you show up and decide that you will be the this minister of finance, and that you will arrange all the country's financing. Well, because you are not qualified, you will simply be a disturbance. You say, no, but I have decided I will be the minister of finance and I will help the country with its finance. But because you are not qualified, you make a big disturbance. So if we try to enter into Krishna's pastimes and perform them, we can't just go and put the tilak on Krishna and decide what we are. The person is supposed to be das, 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 anudas. That is why the manjaris serve the shakis and the sakis serve Radharani and Radharani serves Krishna. And we can't engage in those pastimes until we actually know what our relationship is. Because imagine if we pretend to be a gopi and it turns out we're a cowherd boy, doesn't that become a, what is it? Not a conflict of interest, but a personality. I can't think of a word of it. When we're not sure who we are? A what? Well, that's a rasabhas, but also, just like if you're not sure who you are, you have a difficulty understanding who you are. So if you think you're one thing and you turn out to be something else, doesn't that become a kind of a personality disorder? So, a what? No, I'm trying to think what it is. Just like when you, if you thought you were one person and it turns out you're someone else, so what? No, it's not that. It's, split personality. Could be split personality, but also it's, you have difficulty knowing who you are. Just like if somebody thought they were the parents of one person, it turns out they're adopted. They have a doubt about themselves. What do we call that? You have a doubt about who you really are. So if you're trying to be a cowherd girl and it turns out you're a cowherd boy, doesn't this become a what? Identity crisis. That's the he got it. I knew someone would get it. It's an identity crisis because you're thinking you're one thing. And imagine if you had amnesia and they told you you were one person. It turns out you are someone else. They used to have movies like this in the 60s, right? One person had an automobile accident and it turns out the woman was her lover, but what she did was said that this was her husband and reconstructed it. And so the man thought he was her husband and then he went and saw the face of the person and they found the other person dead and it was actually him. So he had an identity crisis. So that's an identity crisis because we think that we're a cowherd girl and it turns out we're a cowherd boy or something different. So if we try to imagine who we are and find out we're something different, we suffer an identity crisis. So this is why even within the Vrindavan pastimes, the Narada Muni reminds us that yes, we can have all these sweet pastimes of Krishna, but we have to remember here, as Narada Muni is saying, that Krishna does have Rupa Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, and Venu Madhuri. And he's the sweet, lovable Krishna who you engage in intimate pastimes with. But he's also the unlimited Lord, the source of all mystic power, the Lord of the universe, Vasudev, the shelter of all beings, best the Yadus, the supreme soul of all created beings, sitting unseen within the heart. He's the witness of everyone and the supreme personality and the ultimate controlling deity. So, just like the residents of Vrindavan sometimes know that and sometimes they don't, we have to simultaneously know both. We have to remember that Krishna is all of these great things and that we worship him as a supreme personality. But at the same time, we hope that Krishna will reveal to us a wonderful, loving relationship. And to get to that, we have to try to love Krishna without abandon. Because if we expect Krishna to let us forget that he's God and love him in an intimate way, then we have to forget all the things that we are making God, like our sensual desires, our desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, our desire to have wealth, our desire to be involved with the opposite sex, all the desires that we have. If Krishna is willing to give up the idea that he's God to have a loving relationship, then shouldn't we be willing to give up some of these petty things that seem to be important enough to us to have a loving relationship with Krishna? Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Narada Muni has a pastime where he goes to see the gopis and he enters the rasa dance as Naradiya Gopi. So Narada Muni can have several things going on at once. But it's just like when the preacher, he is someone like Prabhupada can be a Mahabhagavata, a first class devotee, but to preach, you have to come to the second class platform to preach. So Narada Muni understands the intimate pastimes with Krishna, but at the same time, he understands that he's the personality of Godhead. So he can go back and forth also. It doesn't mean that he's just in awe and reverence. He has several relationships with Krishna. But when he's in the business of a preacher, then he has to come to that platform to preach it to others. You don't start preaching at the rasa platform. You have to start from where people understand Krishna as God, but as God he does these things. Besides, all of them are so high, we can't think of Kunti Devi as being lower because she understands that Krishna is God. She's still a great exalted Vaishnava. He entered as he wanted to see the Ras Lila, and so he had to go into the he went to the Kusum Sarovara and came out as Naradiya Gopi. So that what happens if we go in the Kusum Sarovara? Or we have to be qualified first? Do you have to be qualified first? Did you go in the Kusum Sarovara? Did you come out as a gopi? No? Can you pretend? Is it just as good to pretend? Should I pretend that I'm the Minister of Finance for Mauritius? Or maybe I get in trouble. If I tell people that, I might be in trouble for fraud, right? Yes? So if we present ourselves as being realized of Krishna and we're not, are we guilty of fraud? And will we get Krishna's love by doing that? No, we won't. But we can still get purified going in the Kusum Sarovara. Now it makes me want to swim in it again. Anything else? Yes?
As Krishna killed the demons so easily, he started to cross the ground. The material world, we sometimes face to be angry and sometimes lust. What would you pray to Krishna that he kills those envious madness world?
Yes. Pray to him to kill those demons of. So lust comes sometimes, what, once every other year? As someone said, I was influenced by lust once. twice for about 10 years each. These influences are there, but at least if we can see they're separate from us, yes, we can pray to Krishna to remove them. In what mood should we pray to Krishna? That because we want to love him, please remove these obstacles that are standing in the way of my love to you. Just like the residents of Vrindavan, when they get in trouble, they pray to Krishna to help. They just know that Krishna can help. Right? We know that Krishna is because we want to have love for Krishna, we want to have these things removed, and because we know Krishna can do that, we ask him to remove these things. I'll have to try that sometime. Most of you just don't have these things, so you don't have to pray like that, right? Is that it? If we think we don't have many material defects, are we better off? Or is the person that thinks they do and pray to Krishna to help them, as he become better off? That's why I've noticed over the years that even if somebody has these things, that's why sometimes devotees, didn't come from backgrounds where they were born in a Brahmin family, but they're praying to Krishna to be relieved of character defects and things that stand in the way of serving Krishna. And they really want to serve the spiritual master. Someone else is born in a Brahmin family and they're just concerned to convince people of how great they are because they're born in this family and look at me, I can do all the rituals. And they're not thinking. When we think we're so great, we're better off to think we need the help and pray for the help than to think that we're so great and we don't need this help. Look how great I am. And it can come anywhere. Look at me, I'm a devotee now. I was born in this family. Oh, I was initiated by Prabhupada. Oh, I've been a devotee a couple of years now. There's so many things that can come along where we think that. But we see sometimes devotees come and very quickly they may advance beyond any of us. We shouldn't think that just because someone has years that someone else could come along from another lifetime they had advancement or they make so much just in this lifetime. So we pray to Krishna because he's the one we want to be in love with, to remove the things that stand in the way of us being in love with him. Does that answer it? Okay, is that enough? Yes.
When Krishna likes you, you should be living.
Yes.
When Krishna loves you, he snatches you from.
Yes. Sometimes it depends on the person. Sometimes when Krishna needs that, he takes that away. Sometimes Krishna gives somebody opulence or responsibilities, and if they use it in Krishna's service. But if he takes the things away, that can be mercy also. That doesn't mean that if you have things, you can't use them in Krishna's service. But it means if they're gone, that somehow Krishna is showing you love to depend on him. But don't we always have to depend on Krishna? Aren't there obstacles that come that can make things difficult for anyone? Let's look at someone like President Kennedy. He came from a very rich family, right? He had a beautiful wife. He had a lot of money. He was a very good-looking man. He was wealthy, of course. He was the president of the United States. So he had fame. He had beauty. He had power, he had riches, and yet was he not killed? Yes? Someone else can just walk down the street and be okay. So don't we all need to depend on Krishna? Don't we all have things that are being taken away from us? Loved ones? Certain situations? I know people always ask me, where's my base? But Krishna seems to be pulling up the roots. I think, well, I'll stay in Laguna, but then they'll come to Vrindavan. I'll then go to South Africa. Oh, but they have to come through Mauritius on the way. And so I was here a few weeks on the way. And then I go back to Mayapur. And then next year they want me to go to other places in Africa. And so Krishna is pulling up the roots. Usually you think that when you get a little older, you just stay in one place and relax. But Krishna seems to be arranging it. So is he giving me something or taking something away? It's hard to tell, huh? Yes.
I just want to say that
Laguna Beach. You may know we have a couple of your people there, Savita and Rameshwar. They're in Laguna Beach. They do the cooking and the deity worship and things there. But they do a lot of it. So you can't have them back. We need them there. Laguna Beach is a small town, only 23,000 people. But this is a small country, isn't it? For every one person you have here, there's 1,000 people in India. India has 1,000 times as many people as you have here. How about that? So when will it be the first Krishna conscious island? Is it getting there? It is already? Everyone is Krishna conscious already? You get a few more at a time? Is it growing more? Slowly? Do the Harinamas help? Yes, especially you let the people know you're coming and then you're coming. It's kind of a special event that way, isn't it? It gives you several times to contact people. That's good. Well, shall we end there? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.